We are recording.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock, and this is the Town of Curry Beach regular town council meeting for Monday, the 16th of 2023. John, would you lead us in the invocation, please, and then the pledge?
Please join me in prayer. Dear wise and loving God, thank you on behalf of all those who are gathered here today. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself and for the measure of health that we need to fulfill our callings for sustenance and for friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. I pray for our mayor and for the various levels of town officials, and in particular for the assembled council. And I'm asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and fitting, the ability to work together in harmony, even where there is honest disagreement, and personal peace in their lives and joy in their task. I pray for the agenda set before us today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved town of Curry Beach. Amen.
Stand for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Thank you all. We move to approval of the consent agenda. Are there any changes? If not, I'll accept a motion for the consent agenda as published.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Consent agenda passes as proposed. Adoption of the regular agenda. Do we have any changes, additions, deletions to the regular agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to add a closed session to consult with the town's attorney pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3.
Any other changes recommended, gentlemen?
No.
Okay, well then I will accept the motion for an amended agenda.
Mr. Mayor, make a motion that we accept the amended agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We have the amended agenda. We've added a closed session. Okay, we move on now to public comment. And we have one individual who wants to speak this evening, Mr. Jeff Christner, 742 Sloop Point Lane Baseball Field. Jeff, if you would come up, state your name and your address, please.
My name is Jeff Christner, and I live at 742 Sloop Point Lane.
So how do you get hold of it?
I'm just here tonight for a couple of reasons. One, mainly we had a chance to thank Mayor Blazinski for the use of my son. His 11U baseball team has been utilizing the baseball field at Curry Beach for about 2 months now. And I never had a chance to come, and he said this would be a good opportunity to thank the council for voting to allow us to use it. We're very thankful, we're very blessed to have this field. I don't know if some people understand how difficult it is to get a baseball field in the town of New Hanover County. I don't know if you understand how much money it costs to rent a field for a town, for a baseball field in New Hanover County. And we started a travel baseball team that we don't want to overburden the parents with $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 to join a baseball team, where we just want to build young men. Our record shows that we're just building young men, and that's okay because they're learning to play baseball and they love it. But without that field over there, we wouldn't be able to do that. And or we would be out thousands and thousands of dollars from about 12 different families. families that all live south of Monkey Junction, some of our kids, father's an officer at Curie Beach. Many of our kids live just over the island and they visit Carolina Beach and Curie Beach. This is where they fish. This is where they go to the beach at. So they call this beach their home as well, though they may not live here like my son and I have the ability to. I know there are plans in the works to do some things with that area, and one proposed plan is to remove the field, and I understand that, and I don't blame people for looking to do that since that field hasn't been used in the past half 6 years or so, and that's understood. We didn't come in to try to prevent that. Mayor Blazinski was up front with me and said you can use it for as long as we have it, but I would ask that if there's an alternative plan to be able to get done what needs to be done over there, and to satisfy all parties and keep the field, I would feel very confident in telling you that we have at least a team that would be playing there for at least 3 or 4 years with the possibility of 5, just with the kids that we have on it right now and the parents and their young kids involved. I can't guarantee anything after that, but I would hope that Mr. Clark, whose name is on that field, will get to keep it. Can I share one thing about, we had our game this weekend. We didn't do well. We traveled. Our field's not quite ready to host people here, which we're not doing. And we had a young man who's been struggling on our team, and he hasn't gotten a hit. He hasn't played a ton, but he's played a bit. And Jonah can attest, our left fielder, Jonas, made 4 unbelievable plays. Wow. The team was hugging him, clapping him, just amazing to see the kid who's probably at the bottom of our team do so well. And his dad was like, after the game, he goes, look at the confidence in my kid. So that's awesome to see. So if we have a chance to keep the field, our team doesn't want any money from the town. We don't want the town to pay for anything. We will do it through volunteer. We plan on going out and getting a sponsorship. We already have a number of businesses who have come to us and said, we want to help you and sponsor you. And we plan on going back to them. We have our account that will be opening up next week to kind of do that. But we'll do whatever it takes to keep the field up and running on our part. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for coming by and thanking the council and the people of Curie Beach. That concludes the public comments, and we move on to presentations. And we have the executive director, Mike Kozlowski, from the MPO, here to tell us a little bit about the MPO. And then we have Abby to tell us about some of the things that are going on with the MPO. So,
good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We do have a two-part presentation. The first part of the presentation is I'm going to deliver an update on our annual report. And then the second part of the presentation, Abby Lorenzo, who's the deputy director of the MPO, will talk about Cape Fear Navigating Change 2050, which is our next Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And so, just a little bit about Metropolitan Planning Organizations. We were created out of the Federal Highway Act of 1962. We are the federally funded and federally designated transportation planning agency for the Wilmington region. MPOs were created out of the Federal Highway Act of 1962 for any urbanized area of population of 50,000 or greater. There's currently 19 MPOs in the state of North Carolina and over 400 across the country. I will say that in 2012, based on the 2010 census, our MPO reached an elevated designation, which is a transportation planning, a transportation management area. And what that is, it required additional reporting requirements, but also provided us with additional funding that the board allocates through a competitive process, which is called our direct attributable funds. We are required by federal law to conduct transportation planning in what's called the C3C process, continuum, cooperative, and comprehensive manner. And so the Wilmington MPO was established in 1973 based on the 1970 decennial census. We provide transportation planning services for 494 square miles, serve a population of over 300,000 people. We do provide transportation planning services for 7 municipalities as well as all portions of three counties, and our members are listed here on this slide. We do have a 13-member board that sets the policy and direction for the organization. Councilmember Ellen serves as the representative from the town of Curry Beach. You can also see our chairman is Hank Miller from Rice Beach, and vice chair is Luke Waddell from the city of Wilmington. But you can see our board members here. We have a number of requirements and responsibilities. The top one here is our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Our current Metropolitan Transportation Plan is K-Fair moving forward 2045. We are in the midst of updating that plan to K-Fair Navigating Change 2050. And as I mentioned, Abby will talk a little bit about that here in a minute. We do have $5 million annually that we receive that are federal funds. The board allocates through a competitive process. We've developed congestion management process, which evaluates 33 corridors throughout the region, provides recommendations for how we reduce congestion on those corridors as well. It also includes a hotspot analysis. We adopt the federal functional classification system that identifies the hierarchy of our roadway network. We also provide technical services, development review, traffic impact analysis review, as well as we manage the transportation demand management program currently. It's called Go Coast. And that program, the initiatives behind that program try to get people out of their single occupancy vehicles, carpooling, vanpooling, teleworking, things of that nature. We have a staff of 12 within the organization. 80% of our organization is funded by the federal government, 20% by our local jurisdiction. This slide just overviews some of the highlights of what we've been able to achieve, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about these here over the next few slides. The first is our organizational assessment. So we did hire J.S. Lane Company to look at our organization and identify ways that we could improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the organization. The consultant did provide recommendations in short, mid, and long-term solutions and recommendations, and so we will be implementing those moving forward. We have a number of long-range planning efforts that have been completed, as I talked about the congestion management process, but also we've adopted the Vassar-Pleasure Street Plan as well as the Vassar-Pleasure Pedestrian Plan. There have also been plans that have been worked on but haven't been adopted. So it's important to point out that our fiscal year runs from July 1 to June 30. So this presentation is tailored toward the fiscal year, but we have made some success since the completion of the fiscal year. The Pender County Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan, that was developed. It's anticipated and hopeful that that will be adopted tonight. The Walk Wilmington Pedestrian Plan, we spearheaded that effort, as well as worked and with NCDOT on a number of feasibility studies. You can see we've got the Gullah Geechee Heritage Corridor, which is in Brunswick County. The downtown trail phases 2 and 3 in the city of Wilmington. We've also been heavily involved in the work along with the town and East Coast Greenway on the Island Greenway feasibility study down here in Curry Beach. The 2024 to 2033 State and MPO Transportation Improvement Program, we did adopt that in August, and that was a culmination of about 2 years of work. It's important to point out that that program is required to be mutually adopted by the Department of Transportation as well as the MPO, and so we did work very diligently to develop that plan. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that effort, from the submission of projects to the scoring to the local input, and then the output is the final product, which is that the state MPO's Transition Improvement Program. We've also begun the prioritization 7.0 process, where we submit projects. We have up to 20 projects per mode that we can submit from the MPO, and we have been working to submit those projects, as well as President Biden signed the last federal infrastructure bill back in 2021. And as part of that infrastructure bill, it provided a number of discretionary grant programs. And so we've been, at the MPO, been able to apply for two. One is a Safe Streets and Roads for All program that would help you develop a safety community safety action plan, and the other is a PROTECT grant that we would use if awarded to develop a resiliency improvement plan for our planning area. This slide talks about Cape Fear, Cape Fear now being changed 2050, which I was going to talk about, so I'm going to skip over this. Some highlights. Over the past year, we've had a successful Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration certification review. At the beginning, I talked about that in 2012, we were designated as a transition management area. What that did, it required us to fulfill several reporting requirements, but also provided the direct attributable funds, and one of the reporting requirements was the certification review. We've been coordinating very closely with the North Carolina Department of Transportation on the replacement of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. We've achieved a number of the action steps outlined in our strategic plan. We've also partnered with NCDOT. We're actually awarded a bicycle and pedestrian, or a bicycle helmet grant program, which we're currently dispersing about 100 helmets throughout the region. And then we've worked with NCDOT on August redistribution. And working with the department, we've been able to bring an additional $265 million in obligation authority from the federal government to the state of North Carolina. As I mentioned, we have the Transportation Demand Management Program, Go Coast. Through this program, we've had a number of successful events, including the Brunswick Heritage Ride, the River to Sea Bike Ride, as well as Celebrated Bike Month. Commuter Challenge, we actually have Get There Greener that is ongoing. It started on October 1st and will go through October 31st, which is our Commuter Challenge for this year. And then we've increased our social media outreach. We're currently renovating a building in downtown for our office space. This building was built in 1894. It's the Thomas Grocery Building. It's currently under renovation. We do hope to be in this building in early 2024. We have a number of technical review that's been ongoing, and so, as I mentioned, we've got essentially two sides of the house. One is our planning side of the house, and the second side is our technical services side, and they focus on site development review, traffic impact analysis review. They manage our traffic count program as well as manage the DA program. And so, as you can see, we've been involved in over 1,100 site development reviews, 73 traffic impact analysis reviews. We collected over 500 traffic counts throughout the region. In addition, we've dispersed grant funding, our DA program funds, to our various members through a competitive process. This slide identifies the funds that were allocated in 2023. And then this map shows the 25 direct attributable projects that are currently funded through the MPO program. And so with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, and if not, I'll turn the floor over to Abby, and she can give you an overview of Cape Fear Navigate Change 2050.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Excellent.
Thank you for the work you're doing up there on our behalf, on behalf of all the counties.
Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. We really appreciate your support and everything that you do to help us and love us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome, Abby.
Thank you, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, for the opportunity to be here tonight to speak about our ongoing efforts for the update of our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Our 2050 plan has been branded as Cape Fear Navigating Change 2050. So in my presentation tonight, I'm going to give a little bit of an overview on what a Metropolitan Transportation Plan is, why it's important, how we use it, how we're developing it, and how not just you all, but the citizens of Pier Beach can get involved and help us in this process. So as Mike mentioned, we have a number of federal requirements being a federally funded organization. What I like to say is the most important requirement is our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And this is a long-range transportation plan that we are required to update every 5 years. It essentially identifies the roadmap, pun intended, for the region's transportation over the life of the plan. Our current plan, Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045, was adopted back on November 18th, 2020. So that means that our next plan will need to be completed and adopted by our board by November 18th of 2025. So there are several requirements of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, a couple of which really separate this plan from other long-range transportation plans. The first is that it be multimodal. So here in the Wilmington area, we are planning for 6 modes of transportation: aviation, bicycle, pedestrian, ferry and water transportation, rail, public transportation, and roadway. The plan has to have a minimum 20-year planning horizon. Here in the WMPO, our horizon is 25 years. We have to, we do a great deal of public outreach. It's a very critical and important step in the development of a successful, useful plan. And it also has to consider growth forecasts, so where we're gonna see an increase in population or an increase in employment over the next 25 years. And then what really separates it from other long-range transportation plans is the requirement that it be fiscally constrained. And what that this means is that the projects that are recommended within it can reasonably be assumed to be able to be funded over the 25-year life of the plan. So the plan is not only used by us at the WMPO, but also our federal, state, and local partners as a guide for their transportation investments over the life. Being included in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan really signifies the project's importance as a regional priority, and it also presents opportunity for the project to be submitted by the WMPO to the state's prioritization process, as well as to be eligible for the WMPO's direct attributable money. So here in the WMPO, we are a bit unique compared to most of the other metropolitan planning organizations here in North Carolina, and unique in the way that we develop our Metropolitan Transportation Plan almost entirely in-house. We work with a consultant for just the financial element of the plan, but otherwise it is our staff who are working through this process, which takes a little over 3 years from start to finish. We are currently in the boxed area, the June 2023 through January 2024, where we're working with our two steering committees, which I'm going to talk about in just one moment, and going out to the public and asking the public what their transportation needs are for the future. This process will continue over the next year, where we'll really get into the nuts and bolts of plan development. And then in 2025, that's really when we'll have a draft plan where we will be looking to come back out to the public before bringing a final plan for adoption. So we are working with two steering committees to develop this plan. The first is the Citizen Advisory Committee. This committee is comprised of citizen representatives from each of our member jurisdictions. And really the intent of this committee is to assist us staff with better reaching the public in our region and making sure that every citizen is hearing the opportunity to voice their opinion on transportation. The Citizen Advisory Committee has been meeting through the summer, and we will actually be meeting again this week. And we'll return once more when we come back for public outreach phase two in 2025. The Metropolitan Transportation Plan Committee is really more of our technical committee. This is comprised of subject matter experts, local planning staff, experts in public health, diversity, equity, inclusion, and emergency management. And the bulk of their work is going to be during 2024 when, again, we really get into the nuts and bolts of this plan and start to formulate those project lists. So we are just past the halfway point of our public outreach phase one. This kicked off in the beginning of August and will wrap up on November 30th. We, for our data collection, have created a survey tool, which I'm going to overview in a few slides. And we've also been working with stakeholders and having interviews and focus groups to basically ask them a lot of the same questions that we're asking with the survey. We really want to make sure we're hearing from all groups. We are promoting this call to action in many different ways. We have hosted some public in-person public meetings. We have been attending pop-up events throughout the region over the past month or so. We've been promoting via press releases on our social media, as well as we have a webpage and website. We have sent out emails. And then we have print materials that we are happy to provide for anyone who wants to distribute those for us. We had 5 in-person public meetings back in August and a 6th virtual public meeting. They were very well attended. We had a total of 106 folks from across the region come out and attend those meetings, as well as we received 90 map comments. We are currently in the middle of a presentation tour where myself, as well as other members of my staff, we're presenting to governing boards on our efforts currently. We've also been giving presentations upon request to many nonprofits and other interested groups throughout the region. As well as our pop-up events, we have been trying to use those, again, to get into the communities that we may not be hearing as much from currently. Again, we want to make sure that we're hearing from everyone. So these pop-up events, these are community events that are already scheduled and ongoing, and we have been able to come and be part of those and share our information. So I mentioned we created a survey to collect this feedback. I'm going to just quickly overview. It is a very user-friendly survey. The homepage provides a very brief overview of really what this plan is and how it will be used, as well as the modes of transportation we're planning for. The plan is also available in Spanish, so by clicking on that button, the entire plan can be taken in Spanish as well. The first slide after the intro slide is really we're asking citizens to tell us how we should be prioritizing investments here for transportation. You'll see that there are several different categories for how these investments can be prioritized. And the survey taker has a limited number of points in which to distribute to each of those categories based on what their opinion of priority is. The next screen really is a bunch of questions trying to understand how people are traveling today, going to and from work, school, etc. How they might like to travel in the future. What kind of barriers or obstacles may be in the way of them doing that now. And then really what we should be focusing on in terms of transportation out in the future. Is it new technology? Is it resiliency? Etc. And then the next slide allows the survey taker to select a node and actually drop a comment on this interactive map. So we want to know, you know, where are their opportunities, where are their challenges, what do you think, and what do you want to see? And then the survey wraps up with an optional demographic questions, as well as a thank you and ways that you yourself can share this survey on your own social media accounts. We are looking for everyone and anyone who is willing to help us in the promotion of this effort. Again, we will be pushing all this out until November 30th. So there's several different ways you can help us out. Some as simple as just following and liking our post about this plan and outreach on social media and sharing our posts with your own network. We also have posters and handouts, which we are happy to provide to anyone who may be interested in distributing those. Either in their workplace or to their friends, their neighbors, etc. And then we also have email permission. So you're welcome. We have a toolkit, and we're happy to share information that can be used by you through email, etc. And to incentivize those who would like to help us, we are running a contest. There's a monthly drawing for prizes for those that share the survey on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn and use the tag, hashtag, NavigatingChange2050. So the monthly prizes are up there on the screen. October is 2 tickets for a local ride on the Cape Fear River. In November will be 4 tickets to the Wilmington Railroad Museum. So please share a post and you'll be entered automatically to win those monthly prizes. And then for any additional information, please visit our website, wmko.org. Right as you get on the homepage, there's a big banner, Cape Fear Not Getting Changed 2050. Click on that, and there's all this information I've shared tonight, as well as much, much more. So I encourage everyone to check that out. And really, that concludes my presentation. I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Gentlemen, do you have any questions on some of the things Abby went over? Or I would just tell the individuals that are here at the meeting that it is important to stay engaged. You all know that we have 1.8 million visitors per year down the street, down our two-lane road. You know that they're spending $50 million more to bring in more. And we're after Charles Miller to, I don't know what he can do either. Because, I mean, that's just difficult. But those are the types of things that people are looking for, considering how do you get some of those things done into the 2045 plan. So think about it and put your say in there. Any questions, gentlemen?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Abby, thank you so much. Thank you for coming all the way down here and talking to us, and you too, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Moving on to committee business. First up is Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo, anything to report?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, first of all, I want to thank you for appointing me to the WMPO Bike Ped Advisory Committee in 2019. Tonight's presentation clearly shows what a wonderful organization this is in preparing infrastructure in our area, planning for the future. Our town's Bike Ped plan was made possible because WMPO awarded our town a grant for $25,000 and then increased it to $40,000 to add a digital component, making it possible to harvest more input from residents. Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach received grants from WMPO this year to renew their past plans because the shelf life of a plan is maybe only 5 to 7 years. But if a town wants to go for grants to upgrade infrastructure, it is imperative and part of the process to have a bike ped plan. I just wanted to clarify that these plans are created by input from all residents and adopted by council. Since council's adopted our town's bike ped plan, we've received and are working with over $600,000 to upgrade our intersection at Fort Fisher and K and crosswalks, and hopefully these will be completed by spring or 2024 at some point. Eileen Clute and I met with Commissioner Panicali, David, Chief Bowden, and Lieutenant Bailey to discuss e-bikes, specifically on the beach. We offered a model ordinance from WMPO by Ped Advisory Committee, and Lieutenant Bailey wrote an ordinance to address this issue, and I'm sure they'll present that to you. We hope that Carolina Beach and Kiri Beach will collaborate so the ordinances will synchronize along the whole beach strand. And can I mention one more thing? Courtesy. Our committee is working on education for all travelers. When people driving trucks, pulling boat trailers, cars, people on bikes, people walking, visitors distracted because they're looking for their destination, when we all can be courteous to each other, we'll save a lot of these problems. Our committee will have a booth at the Curry Beach Holiday Market on Saturday, November 18th, and we welcome anybody who'd like to come by and chat with us. And lastly, because this is North Carolina Year of the Trail, on Saturday, October 21st, our committee is inviting you to celebrate the inaugural Great Trail State Day and join thousands of others on North Carolina's amazing and diverse trail networks that span from the mountains to the coast.
crisp air, Frenchy leaves. Ugh, the smells of fall. Hey, sounds like a great day for
a run with a friend.
For a ride! For a day in the saddle.
That's a great day for a battle.
A day on the bike.
Thousands of miles of trail cover the state from sea to sky. Find a friend, find a trail, and join trail lovers across the state on October 21st to celebrate the first annual Great Trail State Day here in North Carolina.
Hope to see you on Saturday on a trail.
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Mo.
No. Thank you, Mo. Thanks for the stuff you're doing, and we'll look forward to taking a look at that ordinance. Community Center Committee. Well, we met, and we're planning on things for Christmas, but not solid yet. So that information will be coming out shortly. Marketing Committee. Anything to report, Mark?
Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. Planning and Zoning, Byron?
Mayor, Town Council members, the Planning and Zoning Commission has two text amendments for presentation this evening, both requiring legislative hearings to be scheduled. The first has to do with a new emerging technology, that being battery storage for homes. Although we're not aware of any instance in Curie Beach currently where that exists, if you travel down Ocean Boulevard in Carolina Beach, you may notice a home that has two large storage devices on one of the walls, exterior walls of the home. Mm. And so seeing that, we started discussing whether that's something we should get in front of, and that's what this text amendment is all about. All we're really asking homeowners to do would be to comply with the minimum height requirements, but not exceed those, so that we're minimizing aesthetic issues, and then as well as making sure that we don't encroach into the setback area. So it's pretty simple.
Simple but smart to get ahead of.
Question. You know, no, I think it's great, but I was just wondering, did you talk with the building inspector or fire chief on the issues around them? Are there rules right now in North Carolina or not? Because
he actually plugged some language in there that said it has to abide by whatever the manufacturer's installations recommendations are.
Right.
They also have to have electrical permits also.
Does the electrical, does it limit? I was texting Chief right when I saw this in about NFPA 855, I think. Has North Carolina caught up to that yet?
In the rules? I was not familiar with that. He just told me about that also. I'm going to do a little research on that tomorrow.
Yeah. And before the legislative hearing, I'd just like to know, right? So I think, and I don't know if we can or not, so this is a question to the attorney and the building inspector probably. Are we allowed to write in pieces if North Carolina hadn't adopted them, specifically around how big they can be for a residence? Are we allowed to do that or not? And I know it might be a question you might have to research, but I'm interested because I don't know that North Carolina's adopted that one yet, but there are limits in that.
Legal doesn't know the answer to that question. Generally speaking, I mean, because we haven't had a chance to look at that.
No, I understand.
Generally speaking, if the state doesn't regulate it one way or another, then I think locally you can step in. If the state is regulating it, can local step in is really then a question of which is whether the state regulation preempts the local regulation.
Right.
And that's a pretty confusing field to go through. There's a lot of several different ways that has to be looked at to answer that question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the right answer or not, but it just makes me question because the manufacturers will say this is what you can do, but if you look at what the code, which is just in adoption phase, is saying, it limits how big the batteries can be because they're a big fire problem potentially, right?
Well, and so, a lot of times for things like this that are obscure, mm-hmm. The code will reference manufacturers.
And the text amendment that y'all be considering only concerns itself with mounting.
I know. That's why I was asking if we wanted to look at more than that. Thanks. So, I mean, in the legislative hearing, that's still okay to set it, and then you can bring that up then, correct? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And you can almost add one to any
part
of the time.
Mm-hmm. Byron, is this for just outdoor placement?
Yes.
Well, that's the issue.
That's what this is specific.
Yeah, what the National Fire Protection Agency is saying is that, okay, if you're going, this is how big it can be inside, this is how big for a single family residence it could be outside, so they limit the sizes. They also say stuff like, you shouldn't put it where a car can run into it, because if you run into them, that can be part of the problem, right? They get thermal overload and run away. They also have in that, which I don't think North Carolina's adopted, that's why I was asking, that you have thermal overload protection installed in it, and so the manufacturers don't require any of that, right? So you can do exactly what our code, what was proposed. That's why I'm interested that the two experts look at it for us.
Well, we have, even though, like Byron said, there may not be any visible outside, but we have a number of homes in Curie Beach that have solar panels,
mm-hmm.
and that stores.
Yeah, they definitely have batteries. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yeah.
No.
Well, you could just do it direct, so it just offsets during the day and not do storage?
Yeah, I don't know if majority of solar panels are connected to battery storage at this point yet.
But you can't have internal batteries in your home, whether it's as a backup power.
You can, and there's a lot of manufacturers now who are specifically building batteries for home backup
instead
of generators.
Instead of generators, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are interior or exterior.
Yeah.
It's good to have electrical engineers,
absolutely.
Certified ones, right?
Firemen.
And firemen.
There is a second text amendment. Yep. That one involves both the extensive work that Vice Chair Joe Carlock has been working mm-hmm. on,
I was just going to say, I know he bring this thing up. This year, I happen to see people with charging their vehicles from the house out into the street, you know, the cables across the sidewalk. I don't know if that's a safety issue or not.
I mean, if it's on private property.
Well, it's crossing the sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We don't have regulations that I know of. I don't know if you know, John, right?
We don't have any ordinance or anything on it, but I was just curious about, is there a safety issue? And I didn't ask you earlier, but I didn't know if there's anything that the fire department had in view of that.
Yeah, as far as fires, we've had three fires in the last 4 years, I believe, that started at the battery source, either the charge or the battery of the golf cart. We've had carbon monoxide alarms go off for these charging systems, like that are indoors in the bottom unit. Carolina Beach has had something, you know, similar. New York City is experiencing quite a bit of fires due to lithium-ion batteries, but it's a nationwide thing, and it's just for us knowing what the hazard is and, you know, how to solve the problem if it does occur. But that's really all I have to say about it as far as Curie Beach.
Okay.
We have a good amount of golf carts, and so does Carolina Beach as well. So.
Okay. Potentially more in the future, but
oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Again, the second text amendment really involves the extensive work by Vice Chair Joe Barlock on cleaning up Chapter 15. I had mentioned that to you guys several months ago, and also the SIC code issue that we brought up and some of the outdated information as well as the potential discrepancy there. So I am going to ask Joe to come up and give you guys a quick recap of that, but before doing so, I just wanted to acknowledge all of Joe's hard work in this. I mean, it's been a 6-7 month constant endeavor. He's a very detailed, clear-headed guy, so we're very appreciative of having somebody on the commission that is, as well as Attorney Eldridge, and being able to support us the way he has through this.
Thank you, Byron. I only deserve that, but also Beth needs to implement everything that I changed, so it all ends up with her. But basically, we started an effort on Chapter 15. We did them at the last meeting, our syntactical updates, which were basically editorial small changes. In the process of that, we realized that the SIC codes, which is the standard industrial codes, it's a 750-page document, and it discusses just about every occupation in the country, maybe in the world, I don't know. But every occupation you do, from farmer to astronaut, is in there with the code. So if we had a space station here, we would have the astronaut code in our Chapter 15. So what I did was realize that the body of Chapter 15, there's an Appendix A which defines some of the codes. Some were straight out of the code, some were paraphrased out of the code. And we have Appendix B, which lists numerically and alphabetically the same information. And then we have the actual code itself. So there's five documents there, and there was a lot of chance for error, and there was a lot of error for things not agreeing. So what I tried to do is go through every place in Chapter 15 where a code appeared, make sure the wording was what it was in the SIC, because we don't want to be paraphrasing another code, we want to use it. Putting things in numerical order, putting the right code number, deleting some codes, and you see a lot of changes in the document throughout because of all this. Some of it is minutiae, but some of it was real, where we would have a wording incorrect. So I'd like to just go through maybe four or five of the bigger changes. I'm not going to go through all the numbers, but I'll start out with right at the beginning of the definitions, 1502.010. See, there's a lot of red there. Mm-hmm. There's adult bookstores, adult cabaret, adult establishment, adult motion pictures. Those are all new definitions that we didn't have in our document before. Those are, by the way, prohibited uses. So we're defining what is prohibited. We are by no means allowing this. So that is really a large clarification to what we're prohibiting. Moving forward to the next page, video gaming, the same thing. Clarifying the definition of video gaming, which used to say internet gaming, which could not be found. So we cleared that up. Attorney Unders helped us with that definition, hunting it down. So we now have that definition in the code. Moving forward, 1508.040D, item D. And I'm going to read that because this is kind of like the guiding paragraph of using the SIC or using our ordinance. And it states the SIC code reference in this chapter are for illustrative purposes only. In the event of a conflict between the chapter's text and the SIC code, the chapter text wins. Okay, so if we specifically say something, that's what we want. If we don't specifically say it, we use the SIC for guidance. Okay, and I have one more page to put here for you. And that's towards the back. You'll see the appendix, 1544.010, Appendix A. There's an awful lot of red in the appendixes because nothing matched the other thing. We had definitions in this appendix for things that we did not talk about in the body and things we do not have. For instance, number 2387, apparel belts. So you can go to the local apparel belt shop in Cary Beach and get a belt. We don't have that, so we just took it out. And the same type of methodology went through this entire Appendix A. Some places you'll see like item number 7011, hotels and motels. It's completely crossed out and then it's completely rewritten. That completely rewritten is the SIC wording because we didn't want to paraphrase and change it. And that's basically what I did here, going through the entire code, SIC code versus our Chapter 15. I know we're just scheduling the hearing here, but if there are any questions, I'll take them or wait for later.
I also saw that you took out a couple, because yes. I guess they were no longer relevant.
Well, that was like the apparel belt.
Right, yeah, or the cookies and crackers.
Cookies and crackers.
Yeah. So, okay.
Now that doesn't
so now that I understand the logic that you used, that's a lot of work.
Cookies and crackers, that could also come under food, and it could
It
could be judged to come under another one. So there is a little bit of gray area there, too.
A lot of work here.
Yeah, nice job.
A lot of detail. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So we will schedule a public hearing for the November.
We should do that.
Legislative hearing.
So
legislative hearing, I got it.
Legislative hearing. You guys want to do it before the next meeting? During the meeting? How do you want to handle that? You have a motion?
I mean,
well,
the last
go around was we just put it on the agenda, legislative hearing.
Yeah, let's just put it on the regular agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, regular agenda. Got that, Beth?
I do need a motion.
I make a motion that we put the two legislative hearings requested by planning and zoning on the November 20th agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you all. It's a lot of work. We're going to have an up-to-date book when you guys are done. Thank you. Shoreline access and beach protection?
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report, okay. As we're at the end of the season. Stormwater committee, Tracy?
No updates.
No updates? Okay. Moving on to department head business. Administration, Beth, are you standing in for Mandy?
Yes, sir, no update.
Okay. John, building inspections other than your report?
No update, sir.
Okay. I would mention that if you look into the agenda package, you can see the reports on each of the committees. There's a lot going on. The fact that they bring it forward doesn't mean that they're asleep. So a lot of good work going on. Finance department, Arlen, anything? Okay. One question, Arlen. When do we expect the audit report?
Hopefully soon. It's still in progress. It has an October 31st due date with the state, so we'll definitely meet that. And hopefully it will be presented by the auditors at the November council meeting.
Okay. All right.
If I could, the new billing system works great. Very easy to go through. Encourage anybody, or if we can send that out again, that it's a signed up for the bank draft, it worked perfect. So,
yeah, we've actually had a lot of people that are using it, so it's great. It greatly improves our efficiency.
Okay, fire department, Ed.
No updates, sir.
Noticing in your report, almost 50% of the activity was well-being.
Yeah, we did a lot of smoke detector changeouts and those types of calls this month, as well as lift assist too. So.
Great community work by the fire department. Thank you. That's a lot of effort. That is uncommon for many other departments, fire departments. Mike?
No updates, sir.
Nothing else? Okay. Jimmy, Public Works?
No update.
No updates. Nikki, Recreation?
The public input meeting is Wednesday, 5 to 7 p.m. in this room for the proposed Joey's Park renovation, so I just want to encourage folks to attend.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for the department heads? Okay, then we'll move on to old business. Discussion and approval of the contract with Trans System for the mid-block crossing. Alan.
Okay, Mayor and Council, we scored the three firms that provided RFQs back several months ago. This has been a long process, but Trans System had provided a contract to do the three more difficult crosswalks, which is E, I, and K and Settlers. The other four crosswalks will be done by NCDOT, and we're waiting for a maintenance agreement from them, or I would have brought that forward tonight too. hopefully by next month we'll have that. The contract with Trans Systems is for $54,108.64. That'll be paid for out of the discretionary funds that we received from Representative Miller and Senator Lee. And I'll ask if you have any questions. I think the mayor may have something he wants to bring up.
Gentlemen, I just wanted to bring up the question under the general provisions of the contract. They would like to use the a non-exclusive license to use the name and logo in Trans Systems marketing materials such as press releases, case study briefs, project summaries. This license shall be perpetual and irrevocable for such use on materials distributed and printed but not yet distributed prior to termination or revocation of said license. Said license shall remain in effect unless and until shall terminate and revoke the same by giving Trans 60 days advance notice, whereupon the end of 60 days licenses shall be deemed terminated. So, Jim, does this allow us to terminate that particular provision with 60 days notice?
Which point me to that section again?
So on page 3 under general
provisions. Page 3, general provisions, first paragraph.
Now, there was a termination, unless I'm mixing it up with the other contract, there was a termination provision somewhere.
Yeah, 60 days.
Where does it say that?
It's the last. General provisions, last sentence. First paragraph, last sentence.
So this is, so they don't lose all their marketing stuff if they print it up in advance.
Right. Yeah, the, so you do have the discretionary ability to terminate and revoke that general license.
So.
With 60 days notice.
Okay, it just, then I don't have a problem with it. Just the term irrevocable, I guess it means irrevocable until we give a 60-day notice.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, with that clarification in.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion that we, unless there's any other questions, guys, I'd like to make a motion that we accept this contract with Trans Systems. Attorney Eldred has reviewed it and has worked out the details, and they've agreed to all of Jim's changes in it, too. So I'd like to make the motion that we approve the contract.
So I'll second, but one point to them. If you look on page 3, they have revised March 29, 2010. So I don't know if that matters or not, Jim. I just saw it.
Where
you mean the footer?
Oh, down at the bottom?
Yeah, their letter instruction revised dates. Every page has a different one, which is sort of weird. But all of them are in 2010. I don't know that that matters because it's dated 2023 in the header.
And if you look right above it, the proposal outlining this letter is valid for 120 days. You go back to the date of the letter. I'm not concerned about that.
Okay, good enough. Then,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll second your motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the Trans System transmittal contract as presented by the attorney. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. That one's done.
Hopefully before next month, I may have some more information for NCDOT so we can get the other crosswalks started. And they're going to be simple to do and should have those ready by the spring.
Good. I know people will be looking for those.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I get to mayor items, going to mention crosswalks. The other item then is discussion of the stormwater project behind the homes on Settlers Lane. Last meeting, we had the HOA president of Beachwalk come and explain that the HOA had gone ahead and spoken to its people, and I guess you did a survey, Tracy? That survey I don't know how many folks are in this, but my assumption is that this meets the rules of your HOA on a percent. So, but my question, gentlemen, is the town, in our studies for the work to be done in the back, has spent, we've spent about about $38,000 to $39,000 on that study, and we have in fact signed a lease agreement with our friends in Matsu. So I just wondered if there was, and since we had a motion that pushed forward spending the money, pushed forward doing the study, pushed forward getting the lease, pushed forward that, if we're not going to do that, I think we need to close that. So I would like to open that for discussion as to your thoughts on that area.
Yeah, so, I mean, from my perspective, if the majority of the citizens don't like that property, do not feel they need or want this at this time, I don't think we should spend extra money on drainage in the back of non-Curie Beach property, right? So, I mean, I would make the motion that we table this project, and if we need to reach out to Matsu about that, we should do that. But, I mean, if you look at the stormwater fund right now, there's, Arlen, I looked at your report, so I'm not making up the number, between invested and cash, about $835,000, and this project would take about 65 or 70% of it to do it.
Right.
So there's plenty of other stormwater opportunities that the town has that Jimmy can move into this area that would be much better use of that funding, in my opinion. So that's so, my perspective from the stormwater side.
So we've been working on this, 6 years? Probably ever since I, probably was discussed since I, before I came on council. We went back there when it was bad.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've been back there.
And we promised those citizens we were going to do something. The citizens themselves came to us. I'd really like to see have some interaction with the citizens behind those homes that made the request to see if they have, you know, I'm not quite ready to jump to the conclusion that we're going to stop the project. What if we, I'd recommend that we send it back to Stormwater Committee and maybe look at it and determine, because we did an extensive engineering plan and met with the Beachwalk representative, you know, the representatives, because we talked about the different options we have for the pipe.
No, yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying that if the majority of the citizens that are having the issue, and I believe that the HOA reached out to them because that's what the mayor told the HOA to do.
I did.
Right? I mean, yeah. If those citizens have changed their mind on what they want, there's plenty of other more valuable projects that can be done than that.
Oh, and I don't disagree. With that at all.
Right. And so, I mean, if some of them have fixed their property over the last 4 or 5 years, and then some of them don't like the requirements that Matsu has if we do that project, which I think some of them, that's why they don't want it now. But for whatever reason, if they don't want all the citizens to help pay for money for a pipe back there, then I certainly don't think that we should do that.
So what kind of obligation do we have to Matsu since we've already signed the agreement?
I think we can tell them that we're stopping that project. I mean, I don't think that they care.
I think we can, if, depending on what council decides and the other gentlemen wish to weigh in here, it can be pushed out, could be terminated, it can move forward, or, I mean, it can do a variety of things. My only point in really bringing it up is we had a motion to do this.
Right.
So we need to undo it.
Right.
Right.
And I'll make that motion, but I think everyone should weigh in on what they think. I'll make it whenever it seems appropriate, but there's two councilmen that haven't said anything.
Well, I lean toward David's solution of certainly a delay or postpone or stop it in accordance with the wishes of the HOA.
When this came up, I wasn't involved. Don't know fully what was going on back there. Now, we had Florence 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We've not had that type of a situation in the last 4 years now. Is this a matter of residents being complacent now? Of saying, hey, it's not so bad anymore, we don't need it? And are we going to see, in the next major storm, resurgence of activity of some sort, saying, well, we need to take care of this again? So, I mean, how serious was this problem?
So it's a great question. So during Florence, and I'll let the building inspector weigh in as well, there were no homes damaged on Settlers Lanes from water from behind them. Is that correct? You didn't get any reports? That's right. So not a single property on the west side of Settlers Lane informed the town or filed any insurance claim that we know for flooding from that. And that was over 20 inches of rain. So it's a nuisance issue. Many of them have resolved it now with basically piping that sends the water to Settlers Lane, right? And then I guess some of them have burned around their houses. I haven't looked specifically at the properties, but no property, even in Florence, which was pretty out of hand because there was water in places I've never seen water when we were riding around, and Jimmy was riding around with me. So it's not their houses are gonna get damaged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I don't know what every person's view of why they decided what they did, right? And I don't know how unanimous in the neighborhood it was initially, right? So there were, to my knowledge, 5 people that kept emailing us. That's not the entirety of Settlers Lane, right? That's 5 people. The council worked in good faith because we want to try to help people out. But even during the work, the issue was, look, we're going to be spending money on other people's property for a stormwater issue that doesn't hazard your house, but we'll keep working on it. And that's what we did, I think, at least from my perspective. And the other part is we tried to tie it in with getting the opportunity to use the west side behind the firehouse and police station for the town, which I think is also part of the lease.
That's the part we
need to ask sponsors. Yeah. We want to reduce what we're asking to lease to just this part and build the fence there.
I wouldn't want to give up the opportunity, the lease.
Right. I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even for behind Settlers, in case there's anything we need to do with our force main or anything. So I don't know that I would want to turn off Matsu other than to tell Matsu that
we're not executing
this project.
Yeah. So, and I think that's reasonable too.
So can I make a recommendation that we bring this up again next month and determine, you know, do a more evaluation? Because I do know some of the residents that made the initial request still want the project done because they have a severe water problem back there.
I just want to provide the context of the agreement that you all are talking about, because understanding exactly what it is might free you up on how you approach it. It's not a lease, it's an easement. It's an easement to install the pipe and the fence. There are various ways to terminate an easement, like abandoning the use, but that usually has a time element involved in it. Reading through the easement agreement that Beth got her fingers on just like that, Matsu can terminate it. We don't have that ability, and I'm not suggesting that we should. So if you table it, for example, into the future, you haven't jeopardized your easement if you want to come back to it. I don't think there's any need to interface with Matsu at this point.
Okay, that's okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, from what I've heard then, I would suggest that, similar to David, okay, that we don't spend that significant amount of money on something that is a benefit to a few people, whereas the majority of people don't want it.
So, public money, okay. Well, I think everybody weighed in, so I don't, I guess I'd accept a motion either from you or from you or any of the other gentlemen as to what direction you'd like to take here.
One other point, looking at this thing on the computer, your easement's good for 50 years.
50 years, yeah.
Unless they turn it.
So make a motion, we table the project to put a pipe behind Settlers Lane for drainage and take it out of this year's budget. And then future councils can address it because we'll have the easement if citizens come back to them.
One last thing. We have the easement. We're using the property behind the police department.
Yes.
Do we need to put the fence back there?
We definitely will have
well,
to.
Where we will we probably have it? To put the fence
okay,
back
so,
there.
Okay, so sure we'll still need to go forward with that
well, yes.
project. Okay.
Yes. If we're going to utilize that, they'll expect us to fence that. Right.
Wherever we're impacting, I right. think. Yeah. Okay. Is that how you read it, Jim, or did you not look at the detail for that?
Because I don't want to be in a position where we put the fence there and Matsu comes back to us and says, well, you got to carry that fence all the way down where you said.
An easement for the installation of a main storm water pipe and fence that runs directly down the center of the Matsu fire break with spurs connecting drop inlets closer to the fence line. Here and after referred to as the facilities identified on Exhibit A. Good for 50 years. That's what the document reads.
Oh, so it doesn't have the lots. The lot that was west of behind Town Hall.
I'm not prepared to answer that question.
See, that's why I'd like to wait at least 30 days before we make a final decision on this.
We're looking to see if Exhibit A is attached to this digital copy.
Well, it's got to run all the way to the ditch at K. That's just how.
I mean, our pipes going through that field.
No, no. Well, not it wouldn't.
I
be
mean,
now.
But if the project would go, our pipes yeah. through that.
Yeah. So the point is, we want to use that field. There's a question on the thing. So, is there a problem with suspending the action? David said take it out of this year's budget. It can be readdressed in the future as required.
Do you all want to see the map that is on Exhibit A?
Yes, please.
Can you get that on the screen?
That can do anything. Sure, sure.
We've got some people that didn't think we were going to make a decision on this tonight. We told them we were going to make a decision on this tonight. This discussion.
What do you mean it's not on the agenda? It sure isn't on the agenda.
But with this discussion.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then, if that's your reason for postponing next week, I'm fine with that. If you're saying that people told you they didn't think something on the agenda was going to be taken action on, they should understand how agendas work. But I'm fine with waiting for a month if you feel that's true.
Okay, that shows...
It goes around the field.
Yeah.
And it shows it going around our field. I'm sure the cost estimate on that fence included that portion.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point about what the agenda says. The agenda doesn't provide for action. It just provides okay. for discussion. And that could be relevant to the public.
Then I'm on Alan's side for postponing it until next month then. I mean, if there are people that you've talked to that didn't think we were taking action that would want to be here, then we should give them the opportunity. I agree with that.
I think we do. I mean, I think we have worked.
But they need a compelling argument to spend $700,000. Just saying, right?
You know, when this project first started, we had numbers like in the $100,000.
I know, exactly right.
Out there, and it progressively got worse because of engineering. And
that's right, exactly right.
Fencing and everything else.
That's right, exactly right.
So, all right. So
I make a motion that we put a decision on the stormwater project behind Huns on Settlers Lane on next month's agenda.
Okay.
So it's clear to everyone.
I'll second that.
It will give you an opportunity to take a look. Did the engineering study say it would benefit the beachwalk area drainage or not? I know that when Craig talked, he's a pretty smart guy, hydrologist, he did not think that there was value to their major system. So, okay, so we have a new motion. Any other discussion? Do you second it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All
so
opposed?
Beth, you got that one, right?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. As you can tell, it's something that we needed to address, and we will address it next month. New business discussion of the approval of site access agreement with Verizon. Counselor.
It's kind of interesting negotiating with Verizon.
yeah, we've tried that too.
I mean, one of the things that was missing, their agreement was well drafted, I'll say that. But I was troubled by the fact that there wasn't a provision for insurance. Not that Verizon needs to persuade us that they are insured, they're huge. But typically, for something like that, we would want the certificate naming the town as an additional insured, and that's what I suggested, and they agreed to it. The only other change we had to make was a provision that any disputes be first mediated before litigation. So those are the only two changes. They accepted them, and we can act on that agreement now. Of course, it's a license, basically. It's not, there's no monetary consideration involved right. in this agreement.
So, all right.
So it's a license for what?
For them
access.
To come in and do some assessments, testing, reviews to see if they want to lease some space on that tower.
Okay. So they're going to put test stuff on.
They reached out to me a couple months ago, actually, so kind of been an evolving process.
Right.
When finally they asked for some information, whether we had blueprints, surveys, that type of thing. Then they moved on to they'd like to do a site assessment. So I've spoken with Jimmy about that, and then this last step where they sent this agreement.
Okay. So they can put test equipment up there, but they can't put an actual antenna, correct?
I have to see exactly.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to get to.
Yeah, exactly right. I understand. Right.
And we did have another company that had an antenna there.
Right. Well, there's some up there now, right?
That's what I thought.
On assembly?
I think that was removed. It should have been removed.
Jimmy, is there no antennas at assembly at all?
Sir.
Are there no antennas on the water tower at assembly?
No.
Okay. Okay,
they're gone.
Fine.
So the agreement says give them access to do the following activities intended to review environmental safety and health conditions, conduct radio tests, including the placement of radio broadcasts, receive equipment on the property for necessary periods, conduct physical, structural, and geotechnical testing, perform boundary and other surveys.
Okay, thank you. I understand now.
So if you have a receiving device, not antenna.
Well, they can put it up there, just they can't leave it for 2 years. Okay. Yeah, I'm comfortable, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion. Approve as recommended by the attorney.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay. All right. Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Keep us straight. Okay, Mayor updates. I wanted to mention that on Wednesday when we have the open house relative to the Joe Eakes Park redesign efforts, at least the initial inputs, Representative Charles Miller will be there in attendance at the beginning of the meeting, and he will be awarding us a significant sum of money. So I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. The man has done quite a bit for this town. Let's just say millions. So the last item in the mayor updates is that I would mention last week, we also had Jennifer Ames talk to us about putting a sign up at M, just a regular sign, say crosswalk or something. I don't believe we had anything there. I don't know. It's not on the agenda, an item to take action on, particularly right now, but it's something we probably want to think about.
There should be a yellow crosswalk sign.
Well, I'm not so sure I've seen.
I'll go look and see. Okay. I'll go look at that.
Okay.
And we'll have DOT to take care of that.
Okay, very good. So you're going to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take care of that.
All right. Because that's, as far as I'm concerned, it's a safety item. We should take a look at that. Okay. Commissioner items, starting Mr. Panicali?
Nothing for me.
Nothing today?
Commissioner Adler? All good. All good.
Mayor Pro Tem?
No, sir. I'm happy.
Commissioner Allen?
I certainly can't have anything if they don't.
Okay. All right. So we'll be moving on then to closed session.
Yep. Make a motion to go into closed session, consult with the town attorney, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143, 318, 11A3.
Thank you. All in favor?
Wait, who's second? Aye. Did someone second?
He did.
Oh, I couldn't hear you, Dennis.
He just couldn't hear him.